May it please the court. I know I've known Chief Justice Suther for a long time, and Justice Pittman. I've known Judge Gabriel from Denton County and here. I want to thank the court for allowing me to briefly argue this case. I'm glad to argue against my good friend Steve Connor, who I've known for at least 25 years. He's a brilliant appellate lawyer. I'm going to keep the issues somewhat narrowed. My main concern and the reason I want to argue this case is because in reality, the state had a theory, and they argued it in closing argument, that my client, along with his girlfriend, Carter Cervantes, killed Ashley Harris and went through a series of events. But ultimately, they said that that's the state of Texas, indicating that my client went to Luders, Texas, and dug a grave to bury the body of Ashley Harris. And my concern in our argument before the trial judge and objections were this: that is an extraneous offense, and the state of Texas on April the 13th, 2017, in page 207 and 208 of the court's clerk's record specifically indicates the extraneous offense they're talking about. And the reason it's important is because the trial judge specifically indicated the state of Texas was not allowed to go into any extraneous matters regarding the offense, and the offense alleged in the extraneous matter, for your understanding, is almost somewhat like the offense that occurred. It's in the record. It's argued in the record. More specifically, on November the 14th in Abilene, Taylor County, Texas, there was some alleged activity in also an Eagle Outfitter store where allegedly my client, along with his girlfriend, were going to try to commit the same type of offense they were convicted for of a woman named Brianna Barnes. So Judge Hageman specifically ruled the state of Texas could not go into those extraneous matters, but then over objection, in essence, allowed the state to go into those exact extraneous matters. And most respectfully, I clearly can't say being critical of someone who's overweight. I'm clearly overweight now. I wasn't when I was a young kid, but I am now. But the bottom line is, if the court takes the time to look at the exhibits and look where the body of Ashley Harris was found in the apartment complex near Hewland Mall, the state's theory and the state's argument to the jury, which was very harmful to my client, was that my client, along with his girlfriend, went to get a key to go into the Eagle Outfitter store, which was a stone's throw away from where Ashley Harris lived, to steal the Black Friday money. Earlier in August of that same year, there was a burglary at the Eagle Outfitter in Hewland Mall. And if you have ever been to Hewland Mall, I didn't really notice this until I had the case, but there's kind of a catwalk that goes behind the stores. And the allegation is that my client went into that store extraneously and stole at least $15,000 to $18,000. And how this all evolved is that Ashley Harris said that person in that dark outfit must have been, and he goes by David, must have been David Mallory. And so that's how it evolved to the key issue at the apartment complex it's near Hewland Mall. I can't remember the name of the street, River Ranch Road. So my concern and my argument, and it's not a complex legal issue, it's just a really important issue that the trial judge should follow his own ruling, is the judge allowed three extraneous matters into evidence. The seizure of the phone is probably legal with the search warrant, but initially Detective Ernie Pate stopped my client outside Hewland Mall the day after Black Friday, and Detective Cedillo, as the record will indicate, is in the mall and believes, based on testimony of another person, that Carter Cervantes is in the mall trying to open the door to the store. Well, lo and behold, in the black G37, who is owned by Cervantes, my client is driving the vehicle. Detective Pate does what all police officers would do. He stops him and makes an inquiry. Can I see your driver's license? Well, my client didn't have his driver's license with him. So the law says you can make an arrest for that, and he did. So he takes his phone, and we argued that the phone seizure was unconstitutional. And the state argues in their brief, which was, I think it's good to a certain degree, is that once the phone is taken, the search warrant was established, but that's not till after my client is released. And Judge Suther, I know you were a municipal court judge for many years, and I practiced in front of you with great honor. And sure, a police officer can write a citation or make an arrest on that type of offense, and that's what Detective Pate did. But the problem is, from a legal standpoint, is they released my client from the jail across the street that day with the citation, but kept his phone. That's why I have some concern. There was no warrant to keep his phone. Therefore, it's an improper search. And then therefore, I would suggest to the court, it makes the search illegal. Furthermore,
did he attempt to get his phone?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Did he attempt to get his phone?
He made a request to get his phone. They wouldn't release his phone. It was kept in the 4th PD property. And then a day or so later, Detective Cedillo got a search warrant, and they did execute the warrant, which is allowed by the U.S. Supreme Court case. But they didn't allow him to have his phone, and he left that same day. He was detained by the police. So in that phone are some very incriminating things, which is extraneous. It goes to the issue of the gravesite in Luders, Texas, which is in north of Taylor County, Abilene. I think it's Jones County, if I can recall, being a Texas boy. And the problem in the phone is there are longitude and latitude exactly indicating where the gravesite is, and it's supposed to be sent to Carter Cervantes, so that's very incriminating.
But isn't that really part of the transaction? That wouldn't really be extraneous, because disposal of the body would be part of the transaction of murdering someone, right?
Well, and that's what I'm going to share with the court. I don't think it's part of the transaction, and for this reason, and I was going to talk about when I said if you can have a chance to look at the crime scene photographs, and I talked about myself being overweight. If you look at the crime scene photographs, in the middle of the day is when the fire alarm goes off. Well, excuse me, in the middle of the morning when the fire alarm goes off around 7:30, based on what a neighbor says, that's when he goes upstairs and discovers the body of Miss Harris. The state's theory is that my client and his girlfriend would carry the body down the steps at 7:30 a.m. in broad daylight, and there's already a person who testifies they see some activity going on, and puts the body of a deceased woman of 200 pounds in a, if you know anything about cars, the Infiniti G37 has a tiny little trunk. And their theory is that is the reason that there's a gravesite in Luders. But the state of Texas clearly indicated in their notice of extraneous that some other nefarious activity is supposed to take place regarding the same type of alleged behavior my client's convicted of as to Brianna Barnes. So I would suggest it's not contextual at all, Your Honor. It's a separate offense. And the judge specifically indicated the state was not allowed to go into it over our objection.
Is digging a grave an offense?
Excuse me?
Is digging a grave an offense?
No, it's not an offense by itself.
Okay.
But the allegation, there was communication regarding an alleged offense as to the other Eagle Outfitter store in Abilene, Taylor County, Texas, as to the same alleged activity.
But that didn't come in, did it?
No, ma'am. That's what I'm saying, Your Honor. It was not permitted to come in, but in essence, the state, backdoored us through those three different things about testimony about the grave being dug, the longitude and latitude, and testimony to the depiction of the grave. So, no, we kept it out. Judge Heckman didn't allow that to come in. You're correct. But my argument to the court, most respectfully, is that over our objection, that came in, and furthermore, it's not relevant. I know that's a hard thing to overcome in today's, well, we do law now, but it's not relevant to this case at all that a grave was dug. If it's not contextual, it's certainly not relevant to anything. And then Detective Pate talked about the grave that was dug. And the other incriminating thing is my client's Cadillac, Cervantes had gone to, I can't remember if it's Walmart or Home Depot, she'd gone to one of the little stores and bought the two shovels on videotape with some other incriminating things. And inside the trunk of my client's car were those shovels that were depicted being purchased by Carter Cervantes. So the implication is that my client is clearly participating in some homicide and is trying to arrange to have the body buried almost 2.5 hours away from Tarrant County, which is not reasonable in the middle of the day that our client would do that. So I have some concern regarding that. And also, we made a separate objection under 403, and I know the court conducted a balancing test, but I don't think the court's conducting the balance test was proper. I think the prejudicial effect to allow that testimony in was highly more prejudicial and otherwise. I know those are two hard hurdles to overcome.
Did you object to the testimony itself? Because at least in the part, and I
could you start
I admit,
the question? Could you start it over for me?
Did you object to the testimony itself or just the pictures of the grave?
No, Your Honor. We objected to the testimony and to the photographs.
Okay.
Yes.
Because in the part that, the, and I admit I've only read a limited portion, but in the part I read, there wasn't any objections to the testimony. It was just to the photographs.
We had already made, well, yes, there was objection to the testimony also and as to the photographs. But there was specific objection also as to relevance to that same exact issue. And, the court did the relevancy issue and then the 403, but the court overruled some of those issues. So in closing, I'm not going to take all the court's time, and I know this is a tough case to sway the court, but I'm real concerned that if Judge Hageman took the time to keep these extraneous issues out, then I think it's improper that he allowed them to come in through the back door. And it surely was harmful to our client.
May it please the court, Stephen Condor on behalf of the state of Texas. I'll start off with addressing the grave evidence since that's the point raised primarily by the defense in their oral argument. I think this was clearly relevant evidence that the trial court decided to put in. Yes, they excluded the extraneous matters dealing with what they may or may not have planned to do in Abilene, but I think it's well within the realm of relevance of this gravesite being dug. The fact that the defense tries to say, well, it would not have been practical for them to remove the body and to take it to the gravesite. Well, honestly, nothing about this entire case shows that they engaged in any type of practicality. They robbed a store where they knew there was video cameras and where they probably identified. They broke into the house and stole the keys to the victim's keys to the store, nothing else, leaving a clear indication of who was going to be committing this crime. There's nothing other than the fact their own delusions of how sophisticated they were in their crime planning. The fact that they thought they could pick up, move the body into some pre-planned grave is not really out of the realm of the zone of of the trial court's realm that this could be relevant, that they could have planned, I'm digging this hole for this ground and I'm going to take the body there. And then when the reality of trying to move a dead body came to it, they left it there and altered their plan and decided they would set the body on fire instead, which is what ultimately occurred. What it does show is, and it's pointed out in our brief, is that this is an indication that they didn't just break into Ms. Harris's apartment, thinking they'd just steal the keys and go on. That they plan to do physical harm to this woman. That they plan to kill her. And I think that's further indicated by the injuries they did, the time in which they broke in, the injuries that they did. And so I just think it's all consistent to show that this was an intentional murder and is relevant to show their underlying intent. Turning to the issue of the cell phone, I think the police officers followed the exact rules. When they arrested him, they were allowed to seize his cell phone. The seizure is a lesser standard. It's deprivation of possession. But they followed the rules that have been dictated by the courts, Supreme Court, state courts, this court, that you can hold it for a reasonable period of time. They held, I think, for 2 days and got until they were able to get a search warrant. It was only after they got the search warrant did they do the search through it and find the evidence they did. I think the police followed all the correct protocols. Moreover, I honestly don't think that whatever they found off the cell phone and the evidence at the gravesite really made a huge difference because of the fact that, the evidence clear in this, the defendants had motive, they were culpable, and this defendant's DNA pretty much connects them to the commission of this offense. There's no reason for this court to overturn the verdict of the jury in this case. The evidence is clear-cut, and it should be affirmed.
The DNA issue, as the court is well aware on DNA, you don't match someone's DNA that's found. You have to be excluded or included as a contributor. And Mr. Connor's right. My client was not excluded as a contributor to DNA on the pistol. But within the phone, the photographs and evidence, in the phone itself also there was a picture of my client holding a black pistol similar to the one recovered by the police in that G37. Also, there's an old man mask that allegedly depicts some other extraneous matter, which we objected to specifically. But I want to reiterate, whatever plan was masterminded, there's no evidence my client was even in the apartment at all, zero whatsoever. It's clear that Cervantes is purchasing every item that's allegedly used in the unfortunate death of Ms. Harris, who was a precious woman who did absolutely nothing wrong, and I'm not here to criticize her lifestyle, and that's not appropriate. But I would suggest that the harm that we received based on the court overruling our specific objections could not be overcome. Therefore, the jury found our client guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your argument. It was very helpful to us. Your case is now submitted. We're in adjournment. Thank you.